Years ago, Amy Grant wrote a song about a couple who went before God and said, "I take you to have and to hold from this day forward, for better or worse, for richer or poor, in sickness and in health, to love, honor, and cherish as long as we both shall live." And in that song, thinking about that vow, Amy said, "How can you see that far?" Meaning that whatever else marriage is or isn't, it is definitely a leap of faith into the unknown. 46 years ago, just as an example, you couldn't have possibly seen where you are and what you've been through. One of my favorite scriptures is Hebrews 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, "Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the conviction or the evidence of things not seen." Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. I looked it up in the New Century Version. The New Century Version says, "Faith means knowing something is real, even though we can't see it yet." How can we see that far? The writer of Hebrews would say, through eyes of faith. I was going to preach a sermon for Labor Day. I was going to preach it on the parable of Jesus told about the workers of the vineyard. They went out at different times of day. Some of them went out early in the morning. Some of them went out at noon. Some of them went out at 3 o'clock. When it came time to pay them, they all got paid the same wage. And then, last Sunday, here in this service, Phil asked us to share our hearts for prayer, and we did. And your concerns and my concerns blessed me, and they burdened me. If you remember, some of us asked for prayer for the people in Texas in the flood. And some of us asked for prayers for children. And we asked for prayers for the hatred that we see in the world. And someone asked for prayers for the president and our leaders. And we asked for prayers of other nations. And someone asked for prayers for the migrant farm workers that are in the area. And someone asked for prayers for his job, for illnesses we're facing, for storms and crises. And I sat at my desk on Monday and Tuesday, I'm just going to tell you the truth, and I thought, Lord, do we really need a sermon on Labor Day? What do we need? And I was thinking, my problem personally is I want to see. I want to know what's going to happen. I want to see what's coming. I want to be prepared. And more than that, I just want to know that God's got things under control. Now, I know that he does, I believe that he does, but it's like, I want to see it. But you know what I became aware of more than anything else in that service last week? It's this: I'm feeling afraid. And I feel guilty about that because I shared with you a couple months ago that I had read something. What I read was, the opposite of faith isn't doubt or unbelief. The opposite of faith is fear. Fear damages faith. And I thought to myself, you know, if I'm going to get through this and I'm going to read the headlines and I'm going to see the video and I'm going to partner with the people in Texas and I'm going to walk as a pastor with some people who are getting test results, I need a healthy dose of faith. And I sat at my desk on Wednesday and I thought, what in the world does the Word say? And it was like, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? No one knows when David wrote that or why he wrote it. Some scholars that I read said, well, he wrote it in the beginning of his time when he had become a king, but he wasn't on the throne yet, and his father-in-law Saul was hunting him down to kill him, and he was hiding in caves and among the enemies and everywhere else. And other people said, no, that's not when David wrote that psalm. David wrote that psalm at the end of his kingship, When he fled the palace because his son was tracking him down, seems like his family always had a contract on his head. No one knows when the psalm was written. But one of the things about Psalm 27 I like is it doesn't offer me any false platitudes. It doesn't give me any expressions like when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And when life gives you lemons, make lemonade and all that jazz. David is just talking about a very real relationship with his Lord that he has seen work in his life and says, I choose to trust him and I choose to wait for him. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The word light is dawn. Lord's not just any light, he's the dawn. I heard someone said one time that it's always darkest before the dawn. You've heard that? So if you're going to steal your neighbor's newspaper, that's the time to do it. I said that upstairs, and I happened to catch the expression in one man's face, and I know he thought I was serious. I know he thought I was serious. I like that. If you're going to steal your neighbor's newspaper, do it before the dawn. But David realized that no matter how dark things get, and again, he was hiding in a cave, and I don't know if you know this story, but Saul was tracking him down and went into the same cave where David was, and David concealed himself in total darkness, inches away from Saul. Inches away, and Saul didn't see him. And David said, no matter how dark things get, God brings the dawn. And I can see the Lord is my light, my dawn, and my salvation. The Hebrew word there is Yesha. It has a cousin. The cousin is Yeshua. Yeshua is the Hebrew name for Jesus. You think about that, what that scripture says. The Lord is my light and my Jesus. What has Yeshua promised us? Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble, but do not be afraid. I've overcome this world. Jesus said, don't be afraid, just believe. Jesus said, I give you my peace. I give you peace not like the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled. And don't be afraid. Jesus says, don't be afraid. Your Father has chosen to give you the kingdom. Don't be afraid. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold, is the fortress, is the rock of my life. A little bit later, he talks about the Lord being his shelter. He will shelter me in his tent. The word means he will hide me. He will conceal me. The word in there, I think it's verse 3, conceal, means that you are like a treasure, like someone hoards or hides a treasure so that it can't be stolen, so that it's completely protected. The Lord is my light and my salvation, the stronghold of my life. And because that is true, David says, of whom am I afraid? What am I afraid of? It's a rhetorical question because for David, the answer is nothing. I have nothing to be afraid of. I Googled things people are afraid of. Google's wonderful. I didn't have Google when I first started the ministry. Boy, now I'm so smart. I Googled things people are afraid of. Seriously, they're afraid of public speaking. That doesn't apply to me. Although I get nervous every time I get up here. They're afraid of being in tight places and enclosed places, like MRIs and caves. They're afraid of heights. Some people are afraid, this is in the list, people are afraid of snakes, spiders, clowns. There's a new horror movie coming out with a clown in it, honestly. And even going to the dentist. But I have to tell you, as a pastor, I've kind of learned a different list. Some people are afraid of going to the doctor for test results. You know, I think the longest wait is waiting for test results. I really do. When you don't know what's going on, what's good news and what's bad news, and you can assume the worst and hope for the best. Some people are afraid of cancer. Some people are afraid of losing a parent. I just had somebody say that to me a week ago. I don't know what I'll do if my mother dies. Some people are afraid of losing a spouse or a loved one. Some people are afraid of their own death. But many of us are afraid of change. And David says, you know, when evildoers, he uses the word enemy, evildoers, enemy, adversary, foe, and there's another one. I have four out of five. He has five different ways that he uses the same word. But he says, when evildoers converge against me to eat me alive or to devour my flesh. Obviously, he was thinking about the days when he was a shepherd and he was defending the flock against predators such as wolves and lions. If you go to 2 Samuel, I think it's 17, he tells Saul that I fought the lion, I fought the bear, grabbed him by the throat or by the teeth. You know, David went up against Goliath. Peter tells us, the church, that our enemy, the devil, is like a roaring lion trying to devour our flesh. But the word devour our flesh not only means to be eaten alive, it means to be slandered. To be slandered. And David talks later on in the psalm about people breathing violence against me. What's that mean? Saying stuff. Have you ever been raked through the mud? Have you ever had your reputation questioned? Has anybody ever attacked your integrity? Do you know anybody, or have you seen an example on the news of violence being breathed? Of course you have. David says, when my foes come against me and these things eat at my peace of mind, my adversaries, they will stumble and fall. Though a war break out against me, this I will stand confident. I Googled something else. I don't know about you, but in thinking about that scripture, though war may break out against me, I just am nervous about the headlines. I just am. To the point where I've almost gotten that I don't look at them. And yet, and I Googled headlines of just this past week because I was going to share a few that make me upset. And you know what I discovered? They're too disturbing to share, especially in this particular setting. But I'll tell you something else that even disturbs me besides reports I'm hearing about nations and countries. It's the talking heads talking about how the United States is at war with each other. Somebody comparing it to the Civil War and somebody talking about civil disrest and unrest and America imploding in on itself. And that kind of stuff worries about me. It brings to mind what Jesus said, from now on, five in one household will be divided. Three will be against two. Two will be against three. Brother will be divided against brother. But I got to tell you something. Psalm 27 doesn't buy any of that. David, who was familiar with conflict among nations and conflict in his own family, said, my God will defend me. One thing I am confident of, one thing I absolutely trust, one thing I believe in, is the Lord has me in his hand. One time in the middle of the night, the disciples were out in a boat on the water. You know, most of you know this story. And they were actually waiting for Jesus, but they had drifted out to sea. Jesus had chosen to stay on the land, remember, and he had stayed to pray. And while they were out there in the middle of the night, a storm came up. That's the worst time to be on the lake. It's the worst time to be on the Great Lakes of the United States. It's the worst time to be on the Sea of Galilee. And the wind and the waves, the Bible tells us, got violent. And I would imagine the stern and the bow began to take in water and the frame of that boat began to creak and those disciples were scared to death. Now Jesus, you remember, was looking and watching what was going on. And knowing they needed rescued, I'm in Matthew 14, he walked out to them on the water, but they didn't know that it was Jesus. What they believed, they said it's a ghost, but the word ghost there means water spirit. They thought he was a water spirit, come from the deep to take them under. to drown them. I'm in Matthew 14, I think 22, but don't look at it. They said, it's a ghost. Jesus said, what did Jesus say? What did Jesus cry out to them? Anybody know? Do not be afraid. What's the second thing he said? It is I. Do not be afraid, it is I. It's cancer. Do not be afraid, it is I. It's my mother. Do not be afraid, it is I. It's my job. It's my mortgage. It's my marriage. And when Jesus said the word, it is I, he really was saying to them, I am. Which those disciples would have known meant he was saying, God is here. I am. Now you think about what that implies. I've got an Old Testament scripture in Psalm 27 that uses the word salvation for Yeshua, Jesus. And I've got a New Testament scripture that uses the words, it is I, to say, I am, the Old Testament word for God. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life who will supply your need. I'm the good shepherd who will lead you beside still waters. I am the vine to which you can cling when you're going down. I'm the way and truth and life that you can depend on. I am the resurrection and the life. That's your hope and your salvation. As God is, I am. You look at the news and you hear about North Korea. When you consider the storms and the storms of life, I believe, as David did, that God is my defender and my shield, my fortress, my hiding place. If the Bible didn't say it, I mean, if it weren't true, the Bible wouldn't say it. He does. It is. And like David, I choose to believe that I will see yet the goodness. He says, we will see the goodness of the Lord. It means the best the Lord has to offer in the land of the living, right here and right now, not in heaven, not in the future, not in the past, right here and right now. I believe I will see the best of what God has to offer yet. Brothers and sisters, David says, and I agree, let us hope in him and wait in him. Take courage. The word means be stout-hearted. And have hope. Dear God, thank you. Thank you for your words and thank you for your blessing. And thank you for giving us and me, particularly today, an opportunity to pour out your blessing on our congregation. We're not the only ones who are praying for those who are in Texas. Our president has asked every church to do that today. We're not the only ones that are afflicted by fear. We're not the only ones who are having test results. We're not the only ones who are questioning our faith. We're not the only ones. You have promised us to be still, and we will know who you are. You have promised us that the future is in your hands. You have promised us that there is nothing in the world that is greater than you are. You have overcome the world, and greater is the one with us than is with them. And whatever them is, we are not left abandoned to be twisted around. You said to your disciples, I will not leave you orphaned. Come near. We cast our cares on you because you care for us, and help us walk out of here and at least be willing to entertain and to receive your peace. Jesus, you are our light and our salvation. You are the stronghold of our life. Of what do we need to be afraid? Thank you for your words. They are timeless. Amen.